This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now here's Chopin the Bulldog with Micah Hyde.
Brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. By Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney. Your ticket to justice.com. By Computer Search Payroll Services, Buffalo's payroll service with Buffalo prices. By Reed's Gems, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Welcome back. Mike Shope and the Bulldog at 716 Sabres and Devils tonight. Joined now by Bill Safety Micah Hyde on the WestHer Hotline. Micah, how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was amazing. How was your guys'?
Pretty good.
Really good. Really good. There was no complaining nice. About having to work post-game after that after that game in Dallas. We were happy to be there.
Yeah, it was an exciting game. Definitely a Thanksgiving to remember. We're put ourselves in good position for another elite opponent coming in on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're well past thinking about the Dallas game, but if we just had a permission for like a couple of minutes or a couple of things on this, please. So, I mean, you've been to playoff games and you've been in more big games than most of your teammates. One thing that I was thinking about on post-game Thursday night was I bet players will remember this game for a long time. The combination of it being on Thanksgiving, the significance of the win in the standings, the Dallas part. Would you say that? Did you find that your teammates were especially proud or giddy or whatever that would look like after this win?
Yeah. I think, definitely. I think anytime you play, those primetime games and you come out and, you know, just have a great showing as a team. I can remember a lot of those games, in the past. So, just in the locker room, I'm pretty sure a lot of guys remember that game. Just how we all, played for each other. It was a hard fought win. There's a lot of, people saying we couldn't do it, and we went out there and played a good game. So, I think it's safe to say a lot of guys will remember that game, especially being on Thanksgiving.
You guys have had, it seems publicly a lot of faith in Josh Allen, and he had just a tremendous, very much, I think, right to say his best game as a pro on Thursday in the biggest spot he's been in so far. I hope you agree with that, and I wonder, how the team feels for him. Like, when you're backing somebody and you have confidence in somebody, to see them come through like that, I get a sense that that's probably pretty rewarding.
Yeah, it was nice to see him go out there and compete like that. We know what Josh Allen brings to this football team. His leadership, his competitiveness, the way he goes out there and just fights, puts his body on the line each and every game for the football team. So it was good to see him go out there and do that. And, we've been saying through the wins, through the losses, through the off season, through OTAs, through training camp, we've been saying this whole time, that's our quarterback. We ride or die with him. And, if he's playing well, we're gonna ride that wave with him. If he's, playing bad, we'll pick him up and we'll expect him to come out next time and play well. So, but that's just the guy that Josh Allen is. He's a competitor, and prime time you see him go out there on Thanksgiving and just ball out.
That fourth down play, I'm sure I remember this correctly. Sean McDermott, I think, said after the game that he'd never seen a play quite like that, and I think a lot of people watching would have thought the exact same thing. To see him have the presence of mind to not just fall on that ball, but to reach down and grab it and then battle like he battled, that had to be something.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of one of those plays. I was looking up at the Jumbotron and was just like, oh, I think I had four different emotions, through through 5 seconds of that play happening. That's the type of, you know, plays that he's able to make. You see it all the time. I think that, Josh's potential is so high, you know, and I've said it before, and I'm not scared of saying it. I feel like he can be one of the elite quarterbacks in this league here soon. And, you know, he just the way he works and the way he's going to continue to work, he's going to put himself in position to make plays and do the things that he just did, you know, last Thursday.
So Dallas got its yards in the game, but not its points. There were turnovers, and you guys made enough plays to hold Dallas to, 15 points. It was, seven? Or what was it? It was not even – they scored it on their last drive when they were way behind.
And, they scored seven on the opening drive, yep.
Seven on the opening drive, and then they scored on their last drive. Nothing in between.
Yep.
One phrase that I think I've heard my entire life watching football is bend but don't break. I don't imagine it's a player's phrase. You know, like I'm thinking that you want to get a stop all the time. But will you talk about a little bit how if your mindset changes or strategy changes as the team gets closer to the end zone? Is there a different way of playing defense as the team is driving down the field? Like, does bend but don't break? I'm asking the same question maybe a few different ways.
Yeah.
I just hope it's good.
Definitely.
Is that a respectable phrase to you?
We're not on the field, you know, yelling at each other, hey, bend but don't break. That'd be kind of
right. Bend now, bend now.
Yeah. That'd be kind of weird. But, no, I think that, I think as you see the field shrink, obviously if the team's backed up, they have, 70, 80, whatever it may be, yards to go out there and just open up the playbook. But once, the field shrinks and they get into the red zone, the defense is able to, get tighter in coverage and all that. It's kind of one of those things that we practice a lot. Sean put us in a lot of those positions, in the last, whenever this team got together in OTAs, I feel like we've done that every single day of practice. There's like been some red zone situations, and it's tough for offenses to punch it in the end zone. As a defense, we're thinking to ourselves, hey, get a takeaway, and if we can't do that, then force them to a field goal, no touchdowns. And I feel like if a defense can force opposing offenses to field goals, and I think it gives your offense a good chance to go out there.
All right. Hopefully we haven't lost Micah Hyde. Mike Shope and the Bulldog is 716. Micah Hyde joining us here on the West Her Hotline. Are you still there? Okay, no. So we'll try to reestablish that. One thing I wondered about, too, I'm not sure if it's like that question or the other thing I was thinking about or like that interesting right now, because it was a few days ago and a relatively easy game for the Bills. They won the game kind of going away. I wonder about Elliott and Jackson coming up, and I want to ask him about preparing for certain players. You think of guys watching tape, and I think about, okay, we got him back. Good. Mike,
yeah,
you there?
Okay,
good.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Let me run this by you. I'm thinking about, so you're watching tape for Baltimore now, and what does that entail? You're looking at tendencies and, what kinds of things you can do, your team can do to throw off the opponent, whatever, those advantages. I wonder if you also watch tape on players to see whether it's like a running style or certain ways that you think you can, coverage, you're also, I think, watching to see what kind of one-on-one advantages you might be able to find in a matchup. What goes into that?
How much time you got?
We can go on for the next five hours
talking about how you watch film. So you can watch film plenty of ways. You can watch it situationally. You can kind of watch it from play one all the way through the end of the game and see how the offensive coordinator is calling plays, and obviously if they have momentum, then if they're taking big shots down the field, or if the other team's attacking them, then how they're throwing screens and stuff like that. So you can always watch it situationally, first, second, down, third down. You can go to the red zone and see how they, operate in the red zone. If it's, if they're winning, if they're up, then, it might possibly they will, you know, run the ball in when they get in the red zone. Then after that, try to, you know, throw the ball in. There's some teams that just want to throw the ball in the red zone. They kind of get to the, you know, shrink the field, and they go straight to the red zone because they automatically have a field goal. You know, usually in this league, if you get to the 32-yard line, then the other team's going to kick field goals. That's kind of like the average to where you try to, you know, limit the offenses of getting to. So once you know they get to the 32-yard line, you're expecting them, okay, they can kick a field goal now, let's not give up seven. So that's kind of the mindset. So you can watch the situation, you can watch it, you know, as far as formationally, if, you know, what are they doing 2x2 gun, what are they doing 2x2 with the back, you know, in the dot, what are they doing 3x1, what are they doing empty, you know, you can do it formationally. You can also do it, you know, with personnel, you know, 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 13, 11 personnel, three receivers, one tight end, one back, you know, 12 personnel, two tight ends, you know, one back. So you can watch it with the personnel. And then also, you know, if they have certain guys, that, let's say, for example, last week, you know, 19 is their number one guy, and they like to take, they like to, you know, keep him out wide, one-on-one with the corner, and possibly, you know, give him some separation to make plays one-on-one. We understood that. We knew Tre'Davious was going to be on him, which is a good matchup, so he kind of held his own. There's certain guys in the league, you know, scat backs that can get out on third down. You got to know that. Some running backs are just downhill. So, you know, I guess individually you can watch it that way, and then you can also watch it, you know, individually with, you know, your matchup. So, you know, for, you know, last week, Jason Witten, whenever he lines up out of the core, obviously it's a pass. He's more of a, you know, a pass catching tight end. He's not really a blocking guy. So when he's out of the game, the most likely going to run it. If he's in the game, the most likely going to pass it, kind of keep or possibly run away from him, because he's not, you know, that stout, you know, blocking tight end. If he gets in a 2-point stance, he could possibly go back behind the line of scrimmage. If he's in a 2-point stance, he's more like a receiver. He's probably going to run a route. If he gets, you know, a square stance, that's kind of his blocking stance, he might go back and maybe motion across. You know, yak motion sometimes turns into a run. So you can watch all different ways. You can watch situationally. You can watch personnel. You can watch formation. You can watch individually. You know, there's some gadget guys in the league that, you know, once they come in, they're going to be jetting across the field. They're going to be ghosting across the field. And when those guys come in, you got to know that, so that you can, you know, prepare everybody else. Hey, he's going across the field. Either I have him, or we're going to bump this formation. You know, all you guys just bump, and I'm going to, you know, get to my new keys and stuff like that. And then you have certain defenses that offenses play different against. So, you know, for example, against us, they, you know, teams want to, I don't know, attack the screen game because they saw on film that we haven't been doing so well against, you know, against the screen. But then against other teams, you know, they might handle the screen well, so they'll possibly do, you know, do other things. So you got to watch film in a whole bunch of different ways, and that's where it's a chess match on and off the field. You know, you're watching in the meeting room, and you see one thing, you see a weakness that the other team might have. You go out there on Sunday, you try to attack it, but you see that they, you know, they fixed it during the week of practice, and, you know, from there it's a chess match. You got to say, okay, well, how else can we beat them? And that's why, you know, these coaches or offensive coaches, defensive coaches are geniuses, because they understand, you know, the chess match in each situation. So, and that's why we're on the field, man. That's why these guys are getting paid a lot of money to go out there and, number one, you know, get the defenses lined up. Number two, know what's going on. And three, have the film study and the whereabout to possibly make plays. There's probably, you know, a handful of plays in the game that are just simple run plays or a simple pass play. You know, it could probably be a 5-yard gain or a 5-yard loss, to where there was so much film study that was put into that one play that, you know, the outside world, people that are just watching the game, don't really know what's going on, but it could be an exciting play for us. So there's a whole bunch of different ways, and that's why we talk about each and every week about understanding the other team. You have to understand possibly where that other offensive coordinator came from. You know, the coaching trees in this league are wild. You know, you got offensive coordinators that were former running back coaches for, you know, so and so 20 years ago, and they're still running the same stuff. And he comes from this tree and this guy, West Coast, and all this stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into the game, and, you know, I guess that's why we do what we do, and we put so much, you know, effort and time and stuff like that into the game.
Wow. I just want to stand and applaud. I mean, you're not kidding. All the time we have, that is just beautiful. Whatever our boss is paying you for the season, I feel like that right there, that 5 minutes justifies all of it. And there's a lot of questions. Yeah, thank you, Micah. And there's a lot of questions I'm thinking about from that. I'm sure you are too, Bulldog. But, like, to your last point, it's Greg Roman, and that's like that might remind you as you watch them of the Kaepernick Niners. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and yeah, exactly. So that's a good segue into you know what I just was talking about. You know, there's you have to understand the history of and say, you know, say Greg Roman, you know, when he was with the 40, I'm just saying hypothetically, was with the 49ers, you know, the Kaepernick days, and they played, you know, a Sean McDermott defense, you know, back in, say he was in Carolina, and it's 2013. Well, you might possibly want to go back and watch that game and understand what, you know, Greg Roman beat Sean McDermott, you know, how they went against each other and how they beat each other, you know, the good plays, the bad plays that worked, because they might surface back in this game. Obviously, this is a Sean McDermott defense, Greg Roman, that offense. So, you know, there's a lot of, it's not just watching film for the last couple games. You got to watch film from the whole season. You got to watch film from, you know, previous matchups and all that stuff. And that's why, you know, that's why a Miami Dolphins team can go out and beat a Philadelphia Eagles team that a Philadelphia Eagles team came into Buffalo and beat us, but then we handled Miami two times in a row, because it's all about matchups. And that's what I try to, you know, preach to you guys all, each and every week, is that this is the NFL is all about matchups. And, you know, if this receiver is able to dominate this corner and they can't stop them, you know, they're gonna have a big game. So it's you know, that's the league that we live in, and it's a challenge each year, every week, to understand, you know, the ins and outs of the other team.
The thing that mostly came to my mind while you were talking about all of that, Micah, is just how much you have to, on defense, change things up week to week and disguise things, because you know, everybody's going to be, they're looking at you too. Like, you're doing all this work, and of course they're doing it to you. So, like, how much do, is sometimes you'll hear, well, just do what you do and do it well, and don't worry about the other guy, right? But I have to take into account that they're going to be ready for things that you do well. So you got to find some other way to do the things you do well, or disguise the things you do well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, you kind of just said it, but at the same time, there's a saying, obviously, you want to do whatever you can do, you know, whatever you're supposed to do the best way. So, you know, if we go out there on defense and we, you know, our fundamentals and our techniques and our scheme gives us the insight of what we're supposed to do on those plays. So if offense is going out there and just running, you know, what's the play called off of the Little Giants, whatever that play is, you know, going out there and doing that, if they're going out there and doing that and just running a whole bunch of crazy stuff, then our scheme and our technique should get us through that play, you know, ultimately. But then at the same time, there's some stuff the offense does to scheme and try to beat you. So, you know, they might understand, hey, he's in, you know, they're in quarters right here, or they're in cover zero. Let's, you know, two receivers, stack them up or get them close, pick each other. And that way, you know, it turns into a basketball game. You know, obviously, 2-on-2 basketball, if one guy gets picked, the other guy's going to, you know, be going to the hoop. So you got to be able to communicate and pass stuff off as a defender. You know, possibly say, hey, here comes the pick. If you get picked, I'm switching on to the other guy. So it, you know, might possibly turn into a basketball game. So there's little things that you got to do, you know, within each play. And but the scheme and the technique should get you to the down. But like you said, you know, you got to be able to disguise, and you got to be able to do all this stuff so that the offense doesn't know exactly what you're doing on every single play, because these guys make way too much money on the other side of the ball to be, if they know what you're in, they're going to just pick you apart. You know, the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees, the Aaron Rodgers, those type of guys. And they're going to go out there and just say, hey, he's rolling down, he's doing this, he's getting to the middle of the field, or no, they're in cover zero. Let's pick these two. And it's going to be a touchdown easily.
With Micah Hyde, we have about two and a half more minutes. These last 10 minutes have been really exciting and great to listen to. The Ravens, we mentioned them a little bit, but with after all that, or just above all that, what kind of challenge is this in terms of how it's different maybe than other weeks with respect to Jackson? I mean, there's three tight ends that catch the ball. That's almost all their passing offense is their tight ends, or at least, you know, yesterday was a game like that. So what do you see Sunday being like?
Well, you mentioned their tight ends. They also have, you know, obviously a speedy receiver that can take the top off. They have some other receivers that just love to block. They love that part of their game, and, you know, they're paid to go out there and block for, you know, all the misdirection stuff that's going on. This is one of those games that, you know, you gotta know on each, you know, given call who has support, who has quarterback, who has, you know, this gap, that gap. You gotta be fundamentally sound, because if not, you'll get torn apart. You know, they'll be able to, you know, they have a whole bunch of guys moving all over the field, and if your eyes aren't right on your key and you get lost and, you know, looking at that jet when you're supposed to be looking at that back, then you can get confused, and there goes a gap, and there goes, you know, he's down the field. But I think the number one thing about the Ravens is their game travels. Like, it's, you know, they had a bad weather game yesterday. It was raining. It was terrible. Most teams, you know, they're not going to be able to operate in those type of conditions. But the Ravens, their game travels. They're a downhill running football team. You know, as long as they're holding on to the football and not fumbling, then they're going to be in good position to win ball games. So, you know, we got to understand that, and might possibly, you know, go out there and try to force some fumbles, just punching at the ball. I'm sure we're going to practice all week and just doing things like that.
That's a great point. San Francisco, I think, impressed in that way too, with the way they run the ball. And the Bills are that kind of a team too, where Allen running the ball, we've talked about. I mean, it's such a weapon for the Bills offense too. So good luck. The whole town's excited. I mean, I don't need to tell you. And congratulations on your success. Look forward to next Monday.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later, man.
There it is. Micah Hyde.
Micah Hyde's appearance with us here, brought to you by Northtown Automotive, celebrating 50 years of serving Western New York, by Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney, yourtickettojustice.com, by Computer Search Payroll Services, Buffalo's payroll service with Buffalo prices, by Reed's Gents, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills, and by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Rob Ray coming up. Sabres and Devils tonight. Lots more Buffalo Bills Football Monday up to pregame at 6 o'clock. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog from 716. Want to tell you again about Omaha Steaks, which is back this holiday season one more time with a great limited-time holiday offer. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code WGR in the search bar to order the favorite gift package, the gift everyone will love, for only $69.99. Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher, bringing families together since 1917. You'll receive with the favorite gift package 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet, and a free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board with your order. All the food plus the cutlery set you'll enjoy for years, all for only $69.99. Tender, flavorful. You can only get steaks of this quality from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher. My family has loved it. I think yours will too. Go to omahasteaks.com and type WGR into the search bar to order the gift everyone will love. Order the favorite gift package from Omaha Steaks today.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, here's Rob Ray with Schoep and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Jim Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
Bulldog smartly noticed that Rob is not in his usual suit for the game that I didn't expect to see Rob wearing a Pittsburgh Started It t-shirt. But that sort of threw me. But it's good to have you here, Rob. Exciting weekend. A lot of people talking about you.
I got a question. Why don't you get as excited when you're talking to me as you were with Micah Hyde before? Like, you were glowing.
How do you?
You were, like, glowing. You were so excited. And you know, like, hey, okay, buddy. Hey, thank you. I'm like, yeah, see you later.
I don't think that's fair at all.
It was true. No, I sat here and I watched. Well, not so much you didn't say anything. But Mike was just, he was excited.
Well, we have those moments all the time with you. I think you just take them for granted.
No, you don't.
You just don't notice them.
It's never enough for Rob. I watch, and there's no
there's
extra.
No,
there's no extra.
It's hard to see the game like this when you're in it. You need to be up top.
Really?
If you were watching this segment from, forget it. I'll
there's no that. Extra.
There's nobody great. Watching this segment right now. I'll tell you that. You're not drawing in the fans the way you used to.
Yeah. Likewise. Well.
Well, how do you feel? You strike me as not loving being the center of attention.
No.
Right?
Unless it's with us.
Yeah.
Well, that I mean, it's more attention.
I feel dominant with
you
guys.
Crying now.
It's the only place I really
me.
Do.
Please love me more.
The piece that ran on Saturday night, I guess it ran Friday in the building during intermission, but it was Saturday night on the broadcast is where I saw it, was, I mean, it was just fantastic. I imagine you're here. It must be hearing from a lot of people.
Yeah, I haven't seen the whole final thing yet, but, you know, doing it was fabulous. You know, sitting there with Ty and, you know, talking even the things we were talking about away from the camera and all that kind of thing. It really gave you an opportunity to sit and kind of understand somebody else that was in that position, and he was very open about what, you know, his thoughts along the way as well. And it was neat that, you know, kind of the way I looked at it was very similar to the way he looked at it over the years. And it, it was nice that, you know, he was willing to come and do it, actually. So, he took time out of his just to come in here and do that. And it was turned out really well for them. So, other than shooting my foot all the time, I hear. I just had toe surgery like two days prior to that. And for some way, the guy doing the camera works was fascinated with that. So. I don't know.
The thing that stood out to me, and maybe a lot of people are talking about this, I don't know, I haven't heard a lot of the talk about it, but the end, like the last fight with you and Domi.
Yep.
I mean, I remember watching that and, you know, being aware of your career and that could be it, but it didn't strike me as that meaningful when it happened, that you guys exchanged that, like, that knowing sort of pat on the back. But that was really, that was nice.
And that was something that we, you know, it wasn't something that we talked about or anything. Like, it just kind of mutually happened because I think we were both in a point in our career that, you know, went on to play another year or so after that. But it was kind of knowing internally that this could be it because, you know, getting few and farther between and game changing a little bit, that it wasn't quite the same. And so it was just our opportunity to not – to show anybody. It was just kind of between us, you know, because you never know at that point when you might run into each other at some point to, you know, discuss it or go over it anyway. So
it was subtle enough when it happened that, like, I needed this show to sort of point it out to me that it happened, I guess is what I'm saying. They did a good job of bringing that to light. I'll bet, you know, because I don't know how many people followed your career more closely than I did. Surely there are some, but I mean, I was very tuned into you playing there. I've known you all that time from the mid 90s on through, and like, I missed that when it happened.
You know what I got a lot too is people just around the rink and that on the weekend and different places, they would come up, and a lot of people are hesitant still because they remember the way you were on the ice, and they think that's the way you are every day in your life. Mm-hmm. And you know, you'd either be in jail or dead at this point if you live that way. But they're like, never realized the other side. Never realized the other side and, you know, what it was all about. And I think it gave people a good understanding that it was not something that you were, you know, monsters going in and doing. It was a job. It was, you know, directed to you. That's what it is to do. They understand that role a little bit better now and maybe respect it a little more when some people looked at it like it was, you know, something wrong with it. And yeah, that side I probably appreciate more than anything.
I've thought about that because I remember realizing either from getting to know you or some other way that it was like that, that it wasn't always or even usually so personal between the guys. But does it make you sad sometimes to – I think it doesn't. I'm going to guess that it doesn't. To see fighting be so rare. And maybe you meet fans that, like you were just saying, they don't always know this point that you did have even friendships with guys you would fight sometimes. Yeah. But they don't even really recognize that part of hockey, being part of hockey, because as the years go by, you know, of course, now it's just rare to see a fight.
Yeah, and it is kind of sad because it is part of the game. It's something that has been there since day one, and it was a unique part to our sport that wasn't in any other sport. Yeah, I think there is a need for it, and there was a purpose for it. And I think that, you know, most good fans understood that and realized what it was all about. But, you know, there was enough out there, too, that thought it was the worst thing in the world. So it's, you know, it's kind of nice to.
But Rob, is there a part of you that looks at the game now and thinks, good for you that you guys don't have to go through some of what I did, we did?
Well, I look at it sometimes, yes. I would hate to see guys maybe get injured or something like that from it. But on the other hand, too, I look at the game itself that it's changed a lot the way it's played, and I think there would still be room for that. I still come down to the bottom line is our business is, yeah, it's a win-loss business, but it's an entertainment business as well. People are going to arenas to be entertained sometimes, and the odd fight here and there does not harm and hurt anything. And you see the excitement that it can create in the building. And I think bottom line, it's, you know, that there was times when we may lose, but you went out and you worked hard, you got a few fights and people were happy. They walked away. They felt whatever they spent to go to that game that night was money well spent. And, you know, it's, if you wouldn't have a game if people didn't come to the building. So it's that part of it. I look at it a little more now, the business side and, you mm-hmm. know, kind of presenting the product.
Mm-hmm. Do I seem interested? Because I am. I don't want you to be upset that I don't seem interested.
No, you're smiling. That's
okay, good. I am interested.
You've changed. That.
What was it stressful? Like, I know the job was stressful. We've talked about that plenty of times. Like, knowing all day, like, you know, 7:30 tonight, I gotta, you know, whatever, I gotta deal with this guy. You know, it's like the, you know, the schoolyard after, you know, at 3:30, and everybody's watching, except it's 20,000 people. Was the days when you were playing Toronto, and you knew you were going to see Ty, were those like the other days, or was there like a familiarity with that so there wasn't as much tension?
No, there was probably more because the media would lead up to that. And they would, you know, that morning when you're in there, it's like, you know, one of the first questions would be, you know, is it going to happen tonight? And if it didn't happen, if one of the first after, why didn't it happen type thing? Because they, you know, it was something that people looked forward to, and it was something that was talked about a lot. So, yeah, you felt that pressure. You knew that every time you were going in there, if you didn't, it was a very good chance that you were going to, and it didn't matter if it was Ty or anybody. Back then, you knew at some point in that game, very few games would have went by when there wasn't some kind of a, you know, skirmish. So, nah, that was hectic as heck. You know, like, I know going to the rink and having the pressure of, I got to score tonight. My job is to score goals. Everybody's got a job. But if you don't score the goal, you know, it's no. But if you
got a lot of company.
Yeah, you get in that fight. Mm. And that's why a lot of guys, say Brad May, would always want to get in the fight first. Early and get it over with.
Yeah.
Because then he could relax and play the game. You know, some of us had to sit there for 45 minutes before we had to do it, and it just ate the insides out of you till something did happen. Or all of a sudden, you know, the game would change or the score would change, and you're like, oh, no, here we go.
Right.
Now it's going to have to, you know. So
if the game got away from the Sailors.
And all of a sudden it was like you'd be sitting there some nights going, oh, don't score another one, don't score another one. You know, it's fine right here. Or,
right.
Or as soon as it happened, it was like, uh-oh, here we go. And you just felt instantly that weight came on you that, okay, I got to go do this. Yeah. You know, that's my job, and that's what I need to do. But you know what? I was just sitting there, and the other night after that ran, I got actually a text from Pat LaFontaine, and it was cool because he watched it, and his text was, you know, when I played, trust me, I was looked after. And he said, if it wasn't you or Brad May or somebody else, you know, making the room and making me feel comfortable, that I would not have been able to play my game. And it was Thanksgiving or whatever right then, and he goes, I'm thanking you guys right now if I haven't in the past. So, kind of thing that makes it cool. And it's worthwhile. And it happened, you know, multiple times over the year when you did step in and you helped somebody out. And, you know, they'd be the first ones after the game or the next day, you know, coming and thanks. You know, thank you for, you know, taking care of that type thing. So it made a lot. It meant a lot to a lot of people. And it was especially the guys. And that's where it really hits home.
Good job, Rob. I love that. I also love knowing that LaFontaine still watches the Sabres.
Yep.
That's good to know. They had a pretty good week, all in all. I mean,
a fantastic week.
Toronto, you know, twice.
Toronto twice, and it was a fantastic game here. And up there, it was, you know, Anderson played very well. And you know, you could have easily came out of that game, you know, winning that one as well. But I think the big thing for me would be watching them, and they're not getting as low as they normally get. You don't get a goal scored on them, it takes them, you know, 15 minutes to get themselves ramped back up, bang. Lately, it's been, you get scored on, it seems like they're countering and you know, getting a marker themselves, you know, pretty quick, or, you know, maintaining that level of play. There's not as much drop-off for a longer period of time. It's just, you know, maybe a shift or two, but bang, all of a sudden they'll have a good shift, and it'll be enough to get them back going again, you know, on the right track. So I like that part of it, that you know, you're not dwelling on what just happened. You're just picking up and moving on. So I think it's helping them. And defensively, I think they've done a much better job. Giving up some shots sometimes, but a lot from the outside, not a lot from the middle of the ice that you'd call prime scoring areas. And shooting a lot more for them. You know, power play still trying to figure it out. But for the most part, you know, doing the things that they're instructed to going in. You know, Ralph always tells us in the morning what they're going to try to do, you know, kind of off to the side, and you're watching the games and they're doing it. And, you know, so what he figures is going to work, he's putting out there, and they're doing it and having the trust and faith in what they're being told is going to work.
Power play down to 19th. See what happens tonight.
Yeah.
New Jersey, last place team.
Well, last place team, yeah, but in this game, anybody can win in any given night.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I think it's a big key for the Sabres here tonight. Don't take that too lightly, because, you know, you've done a good job to this point. You're doing a lot of good things. Don't sit back and say, okay, we got this one, before you head into it, because I think that's kind of what happened against Calgary the other night and got themselves in the jackpot.
Speaking of Calgary, you'll be off to Calgary, I assume, Wednesday?
Yes.
For Thursday game, start a trip.
Yes.
All right. Have a good time.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Great to see you, Rob.
Hey, great to be here, Mike. Seriously.
Thanks, too.
Was that good for you?
That was fantastic.
All right,
stimulating.
Rob's appearance with us here brought to you by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
All right. Sabres and Devils will have pregame at 6. We're going to talk football between now and then. How great was Rob has walked away, so he's not here to make fun of me or to chastise me. How great was Micah Hyde talking about film study? How great was that? Come on, how great is all this? 803-0550. We're thinking about the Bills. We're thinking about the Ravens. We're thinking about the Patriots. We're thinking about Al Michaels. It's all happening.
It's heady times, man, for sure. Yeah, we'll be spinning all that around here for the next hour plus. Right now I'm here to talk to you about Franco's. Hey, it's a game night again. You've been busy, right? Busy time with the holidays, a lot of cooking, a lot of cleanup. Take the night off. Franco'sPizza.com. That's what you want to do. Franco's means fresh. I've been telling you for years. Fresh sliced tomatoes and other vegetables, fresh meats and cheeses, dough made daily, pizza sauce made daily. You can really taste the difference each and every time you order from Franco's. We did that last night, as a matter of fact. I had the opportunity to just hang out on a Sunday, watch football. You think I was going to make anything to eat? Heck no. Franco'sPizza.com. We tried the new stuffed banana pepper pizza, which is topped with hot banana peppers, melted mozzarella, fontanella, and crumbly blue cheese over a delicious garlic sauce. It was fantastic. And we had, again, the Jamaican jerk barbecue sauce wings. A little sweet to start. Finished a little bit hot, really, really nice. The family was all thumbs up on that. You can order, of course, by calling in one of Franco's fantastic 5 Northtown locations for pickup or delivery. But I've mentioned it already a couple times. Franco'sPizza.com, the website. There's a mobile app. You want to do that. I use the website. It's very reliable, really easy to navigate the menu, get specific with what you want ordered and how you want it prepared and when you want to pick it up or have it delivered. And then you pay online with a debit card or a credit card, even tip the driver that way, so you're all set. No worrying about whether you've got cash on hand when the food arrives fresh and hot. Game day, game night, or any other day, always remember, Franco's means fresh.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So you can watch film plenty of ways. You know, you can watch it situationally. You can kind of watch it from, you know, play one all the way through the end of the game and see how, you know, the offensive coordinator is calling plays. And if they have momentum, then, you know, if they're taking, you know, big shots down the field or if the other team's attacking them, then how they're throwing screens and stuff like that. So you can always watch it situationally, first, second, you know, down, third down. You can go to the red zone and see how they, you know, operate in the red zone.
Micah Hyde earlier this hour with us, Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR. I'm telling you, I don't know if anybody else is going to do this. My instinct is to go back and listen to him for, like, it's 5 minutes or so and just write it all down. I mean, he gave an answer.
Yes, he did.
How do we watch film? What do we look for?
You have 5 hours.
Here, guys.
He just went. Yeah.
Here you go. I'm going to tell you, okay? Here's how we do it. It's the kind of thing that made me wonder if his coach will be mad at him. It was so specific. I mean, he doesn't have to be. I hope not. I don't want that, but I was so glad to hear, to listen to him. So interesting. That's from earlier this hour, and it's all on demand, radio.com, the rewind button, lots of different ways to find it, WGR550.com. Micah Hyde with us every Monday. Top teams in the NFL in point differential. Number one, Baltimore, plus 187. Number two, want to guess?
San Francisco.
They're third.
Two is New England.
Right. Plus 177, New England. Second. Third is San Francisco, plus 166. Who is fourth?
Seattle?
No, but they are playing tonight.
That's probably why I thought of them.
The answer is playing tonight.
Oh, it's Minnesota.
Minnesota is fourth. How about that?
Yeah.
It goes Baltimore, New England, San Francisco. Then there's a big drop-off. San Francisco's twice Minnesota.
Okay.
Minnesota plus 84. Fifth is Kansas City, plus 83. Then Dallas, and then Buffalo.
Top 10.
Top 10. Seventh in the league in point differential. Plus 69 through 12 games. It's hard to poke at that. Schedule's been great, but this win, even the Denver win was convincing. Like, it wasn't a good team, but still, like, that was good. And Thanksgiving was also very good. So now it's the Ravens, and then it's Sunday night. This is all just too weird. I don't know what to do with it. That Ravens game, I've been waiting for it all year, and now it's this. Now it's 10-2 versus 9-3. And then it's Sunday night in Pittsburgh. Not even, like, Monday night. I know they don't flex Monday night.
Right.
But it's not even that.
Right.
It's, like, chosen.
Mm-hmm. And the New England game was already chosen for a standalone marquee spot. It's not Saturday night, but it's still. These are heady times. It's great. And, you know, just a lot of – I got to think fans are just – got to be loving this. I mean,
of course.
I mean, I don't know how you couldn't. You know, where it goes, I don't know. I don't know how Sunday's going to go. But, man, it's the kind of game that I think – if you didn't know anything about the Bills and you watched the Bills on Thanksgiving, I'm like, wow, this Josh Allen, he's really something. Now he gets Lamar Jackson. Like, that would be a is that game on where I live kind of game. I think I'm looking at the schedule. Like, am I going to get that game? Because that's the game I want to see at 1 o'clock.
I am already that way with the Ravens. Like, I want to see yesterday. It didn't matter to me they were playing San Francisco. They were who I wanted to watch. It turned out that game was in a downpour. It looked horrible. Imagine yesterday's weather for this game coming up. It would have been totally terrible, right? Really good. And there's what happens this year, and then also, perhaps even more importantly, is have the Bills made it to a point where, like, this is the norm. You know, it's not for right now. It's not even for the next month. But after this year's over, it'll be, all right, can we count on some kind of steady, consistent quality here? Are they just scheduled on Sunday Night Football next year? Maybe that comes down to the next few weeks. 803-0550 for your feelings. The Bills, the Ravens, the Patriots as well. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at 716. Sabres pregame at 6 tonight. Buffalo and New Jersey. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.